Do you like movies, comic books, science fiction, and more? Then you've come to the right place. This is the Rebel Radio Podcast. You can find us at therebelradiopodcast.com, follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and join our Patreon for just $2 a month where you get exclusive episodes. Thank you for listening and enjoy the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Rebel Radio Podcast. This is Mark.
This is Matt.
This is Long, the Bandito.
The Bandito, huh?
Yeah.
That reminds me of a night. Remember the idea we had for that comedy show, Matt?
Yeah, man.
Where you were going to be like a bandito.
That was going to be cool. It was like
One day.
Maybe. It was going to Pablo. It's going to go by Pablo the name of Pablo.
His name was going to be Pablo.
He was decapitated.
My voice was doing so much better, and all of a sudden it's kind of crazy again. But I don't know. It's been kind of a strangely stressful week.
Should drink some honey tea or something.
Yeah, honey tea.
See, I don't like tea toddy. With stuff in it.
Whiskey and lemon.
The whiskey.
Just the whiskey.
And but yeah, it's been a cold week.
For real.
A strange week. A long week. God, I'm glad it's Friday. Yeah, it's about how I feel. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Today was my day off.
There we go.
I sent in a text. No one acknowledged me, so I walked into Mark's work and say, "Why didn't you acknowledge me?" No.
See, I don't think I got that text, dude. That's why I kept going.
No.
How about acknowledging me?
Yeah, it's just a general text. It wasn't directed at anyone. It was like, you know,
that's funny.
Anyways,
you came in.
Today was my
day
off.
Me and tried to rape me and harass me at work.
Hey,
that's what happened.
Shut up. Matt?
Dude, so today, I'm in the kitchen and I hear like a big old horn, you know, and I'm like, man, that sounds like a fire truck horn. And wife's like, really? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I wonder if it'll come down our street. And then I just hear this, you know, when you can hear one of those big trucks, you know, coming down, you just hear them. And sure enough, it turned on our street. The neighbor left their dryer on, and I guess maybe it was clogged or something. I don't know, but it caught on fire. And their house, part of their garage caught on fire. And one fire truck showed up, then two more. And then two fire marshals, and it was crazy.
On your street?
Yeah, and they had the house right next to me. Like, if you're looking at my house, it's the house to the left. And apparently they tried to get the hose through the house because the garage door was stuck down, and they couldn't get it up. But there's so much crap in the house, they couldn't get to the garage door. The physical garage door that, you know, like with a knob and stuff from inside the house. So they had to take a chainsaw and they friggin' cut a big old rectangular hole into the garage.
Jeez.
Yeah, dude.
You didn't videotape any of this?
It's
the age of cell phones.
Yeah, but it's like I was talking to the neighbor and I didn't want to be like, oh, whoa, you know. And then,
yeah, you're respecting their privacy, basically.
Yeah, I did record, and I was like, hey, I am recording this, but it's just to send to my mom that, you know. I was like, mom used to live in the house that I bought, and she was like, oh, okay. And I was just like, are you okay? Is the dog okay? Because she had her dog. And she was like, yeah, I was just on virtual school, and I wasn't looking, and the teacher was like, you know, asking us to turn on our video cameras, and they're like, hey, why is there smoke behind you? And she turned around, and there's just a bunch of smoke behind her. And I was like, well, at least you got out of the house, you know. And that was kind of it. Just kind of worked my way backed out. It's like probably really awkward for her. But yeah. Crazy, sometimes, man.
Yep. When you're just one of those things, when you're having a bad day, just remember someone may be having it worse.
Exactly.
And, yep. That's about the way it goes. Now, it's been a long week, just mentally and, you know, some things going on. Some deep down things going on, but, you know, this is not a deep psychotherapy show or anything. So, you know, we're here to make people hopefully laugh, reminisce about a movie they may have seen, and have a good time. That's what we're here
for. Yes.
And, you know.
A good time.
And good looking women like Catherine Zeta-Jones in this movie.
Yes, absolutely.
So, but yeah.
And how?
But let's get the show going. And was that an agreement long, or was that just like move the show forward, Mark? You're yapping too much.
It's an agreement with Catherine Zeta-Jones, okay. The peak of her career.
Yes.
Making sure. Well, you know, Michael Douglas had to go knock her up and keep her pregnant and shit. So, you know. But, anyway. All right. Well, let's get the show going then with a download this, where we tell people what we watched, streamed, played, checked out this week. And so what has been consumed into your guys' brains this week?
You go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good. I watched all the Die Hard films, all of them, just because I don't think I ever saw the last one.
Yeah,
and I wanted to work my way up, and I was just like, man, this sucks, dude, compared to the rest.
That's 2 hours of your life you'll never get back, because it is terrible.
Yeah, it's bad.
So, was Bruce Willis phoning it in that last movie?
Kind of, it felt like. I think he was maybe 70%.
The script is terrible.
The story. Yeah, it's like, oh, yeah, the hostage is really the mastermind. Ah, he's fooled you.
And like, he's in Russia, right?
Yeah, he's in Russia.
Oh.
Yeah, it's pretty terrible.
Yeah, you do have... what's the actor? I can't remember her name. She was Huntress, you know? That's Long's girl. She's Huntress in Birds of Prey.
Oh, Mary Elizabeth Winstead?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead. Yeah, she reprises her role in that movie as his daughter. And I liked her in the movie before. I mean, she was a great depiction of what, you know, John McClane's daughter would be. And, you know, you had a... I'm just fumbling with names here. You know...
It doesn't really matter because it sucked.
Man. Yeah. No, well, the second to last one didn't. That one was great with Kevin Smith as Wizard.
Even that one's not that good. It's okay.
I liked it. Yeah. I mean,
I liked it.
It definitely falls like, you know, third or fourth on the list of Die Hard
riding
movies.
On the side of an F-14. That was dumb.
Yeah. 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 That's why I liked it.
The vibration of the plane alone would have knocked him off.
That's why I liked it.
Yes.
There were military people who said that was impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
I also rented Hackers, and because I just wanted to watch it again. And I don't know what even made me remember Hackers, but, you know, I remember
Angelina
it being a big deal.
Tits.
Yes. Yes, that's what brought it up. Somehow it got brought up in our conversation.
And no, like, you said you were thinking about doing them.
I don't know if I remember that. Yeah, that was a different me back then. This is a new me. That was the me from before. I just got
yesterday,
here, to quote Logan.
That was the me yesterday.
Days of Future Past. Yeah. Trying to be like Logan from Days of Future Past. Yeah, that was me.
No, yesterday you brought it up for some weird random reason for your birthday movie.
Let's tell the camera you should, Matt.
And you saw my movies. Did you see my reaction when you said that?
Yes.
Of Andre the Giant. No. No! I'm all scared.
It is a very cheesy cult following movie that has some notable quotes, but it's probably not. It's definitely Patreon worthy. I've never heard anyone ever quote that movie. Play with the best, die like the rest. Zero nope. Cool, acid burn. Nope. No, crash override.
Just you, Matt.
I've never seen it. I think I was. I remarked that I think I watched Dragon, the Bruce Lee story instead, which was a really good movie.
That was good. I like that. I like Jason Lee's depiction of Bruce Lee in that movie.
Yeah.
And but yeah, that
besides was... Hackers,
huh? Oh, besides Hackers, yeah, that was about it. I mean, I rented Lethal Weapon and forgot that I ordered it, so I haven't watched the rental for Lethal Weapon yet. And then I got all four in today on the Blu-ray, so go me. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. But yeah, that was about it.
Yeah. For me, I watched WandaVision, the first two episodes today.
Nice.
They're both just about half an hour long. It's actually, they're only 20 minutes long, but they have like 5 minutes of freaking credits at the end. 5 or 10 minutes worth of credits.
Is there anything at the end of those credits?
No.
Ah, okay.
No. The jury's still out on it. I was kind of half paying attention to it. And I don't know. It didn't really hold my attention, but I don't know. It was okay. The first two episodes focuses kind of like the first two decades of television, sitcom-wise. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed Vision in this one. And Wanda is being Wanda with her weird stuff. but yeah, I watched WandaVision. So yeah, well, hopefully it gets better and better as the weeks go by. have you guys seen it yet?
No, I meant to watch it, but I haven't heard anything real great about it either. People say it's kind of
I heard it's mixed.
Yeah. Of course, I played Animal Crossing throughout the week. Don't know why. It's just a great game to just wind down from work and not think about it. You know, it's kind of a Mr. Rogers type simulator type game. I don't know. you log in and you talk to the animals.
I can see that. Because I played it on the GameCube and it. Yeah, I can see that, and it makes you just kind of feel good playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can have a bad
collecting. Yeah.
Yeah, you can have a bad day, collecting... and that game can put you in a happy place.
Yeah, puts me in a happy place. I'm going around collecting fossils for the museum, collecting bugs and fish for the museum. Yeah, just trying to make the island look better. And then, besides Animal Crossing, I actually bought Ring Fit Adventures, an exercise video game. and the thing killed me. I am freaking sore right now. And I'm trying to lose 50 pounds. So,
well, you know, you're fixing to have a birthday long, so you get sore as you get older.
Yeah, I know. but hey, a lot of people say that exercise is the lotion. What was it?
Lotion.
Motion is the lotion. Yeah, that's what they did. but, man, it's a fun game. It's a very fun exercise game. I like the way they utilize the ring for you in the game itself. And I probably total workout was 20 minutes. But, yeah, I was sweating hard. My heart rate was like 160. So yeah,
as soon as I get vaccinated, I'm going to join the gym and go a couple days a week.
But other than that, but yeah, the Ring Fit Adventures was very hard to find because a lot of people were hearing results were really good.
Yeah.
And they finally restocked it, and I went to Target and bought myself a copy of it for the Switch. And yeah, I highly recommend it if you don't want a gym membership. So, but yeah, my brother's coming by tomorrow. He works out more than me, a lot regularly than I do. And I said, bring your workout clothes. I want you to try this out. So he's going to try it out tomorrow, and I'm going to see what he thinks of it. Yeah, but yeah, that's my download this.
I really didn't watch jack shit this week that I can think about. I played a lot of Star Wars Galaxies, still playing the Star Wars Galaxies Legends emulator a lot with my characters on there. But my PlayStation, I don't even think I turned on this week to really watch much of anything. I keep wanting to rent Tenet. I've got to find time to sit down and watch Tenet, maybe this weekend, because I always watch Christopher Nolan films and sit down.
Didn't you see it already?
I haven't seen it. I've wanted.
I might try. I thought you'd seen it already.
No, because it came out for sale, but it just came out for rent like last week. So I think you can rent it now, Vudu and all that. But that's about it. I just don't remember sitting down and really watch. Oh, I did watch the Batman Death in the Family, the interactive short film.
Mm.
It's okay. I mean, basically it's intercut with footage from Under the Red Hood, and then you can pick different scenarios with new footage. You know, some of the new footage is interesting, the scenarios, but it's all kind of like made me wish they would have just done a proper Death in the Family film instead. So I guess I did watch that. That's probably the only thing I really watched this week was Batman Death in the Family. Because I had gotten it from Michael for Christmas, so we finally sat down to watch the Blu-ray. Because apparently the interactive stuff only really works well on the Blu-ray. I've heard people that have bought it digitally, the Vudu copies and stuff, the interactives don't work as well. Apparently they mess up. So
whoops.
Yep.
Oops.
So we watched it straight up off the disc.
And how was it?
I said it was okay. It's intercut with footage from Under the Red Hood, mixed with new footage based on the outcomes that you choose. Like if you choose for Robin to live, Batman dies instead. So it's kind of weird, you know. Then there's one where you could kill the Joker or not kill the Joker. You know, just different outcomes, and there's like seven different possible endings. And I just watched like a couple of them. Then Michael was kind of going through it and trying to find all the different endings. He was having fun trying to make the different. I mean, there's only like three different times you have to make a decision in it, so it's not like it's took forever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
But you know, it was interesting. I'm looking forward to the Soul of the Dragon Batman movie. It comes out in a couple weeks. That one looks kind of cool. It's already out for early release, but I'll wait till the Blu-ray comes out. But it looks kind of 1970s style Batman story, so it looks kind of cool. Yeah, that's it, man. So, well, I guess let's get into today's feature film from 1998. The Mask of Zorro, starring Antonio Banderas and Catherine Zeta-Jones, and directed by GoldenEye's Mark Campbell and
Martin Campbell.
Martin Campbell. This is a extremely much more fun film than I remember it being, I guess, is a good word. I remember watching it, enjoying it, but now I sit back and I'm like, wow, this is actually a pretty fun film. Was originally supposed to come out in 97, but I got pushed into 98 a little bit because a lot of people think because of Titanic, even though the producer said, no, we weren't scared of Titanic. Yeah, let's be honest. Titanic was making a shit ton of money, and they didn't want Zorro to get lost. Yeah. They didn't want Zorro to get lost in the Titanic craze. So they put it out in March of 98. And rewatching this movie, it's one of those movies like you think about, like the people that are casting these roles are pretty damn perfect in these roles. That was my first thought on it. It's like Banderas is awesome as Zorro. And Anthony Hopkins as his mentor, and all the cast around him is really well done in this film. And it's definitely a throwback to old adventure films. And But I think that's what makes it work so well. I'm pretty sure I saw this in theaters. I mean, back in the 90s, late 90s and 2000s, I was going to the movies all the time. So I'm sure I saw this in theaters and really, really enjoy this film. And y'all's first thoughts when y'all first saw The Mask of Zorro.
Yeah, I thought it was a very fun movie when I saw it in the theaters, and it still holds up. And I remember there was such a likable character in Antonio Banderas' Zorro depiction. Extremely likable. Yeah, and at that time I had a huge crush with Catherine Zeta-Jones. It's like so beautiful, so beautiful. She still is. And and Anthony Hopkins was a good mentor role. He definitely brought some gravitas to the movie. And I love how the movie was shot, even now, where it doesn't cheat you on the sword fighting scenes at all. Yeah. No quick cuts. It's all wide angle sword fighting. And Bob Anderson, who choreographed the whole thing, the sword fight coordinator who did The Princess Bride, all the Errol Flynn movies, even Star Wars, the original trilogy, and Lord of the Rings. Yeah, his expertise definitely shined through in the sword fighting. And Antonio Banderas doing his own stunts really adds a sense of believability. So, but Matt, since you're half Mexican, why don't you summarize the plot?
Yeah, so in the beginning, they're trying to lure Zorro out as a trap. Don Rafael is behind it. And, of course, Zorro shows up, saves the day, and goes back to his wife Esmeralda. And Don Rafael shows up at his house and thwarts him. His wife is killed. And then he takes his daughter because he wants to make this man suffer. So he throws him in jail, locks Anthony.
That's
Anthony
so evil.
Up, takes his daughter, raises her as his own. And then you have this cool redemption story with Joaquin and, his journey on becoming Zorro and not just this man full of vengeance and fury. And, he gets taught many lessons not to strike in anger. He learns to become a gentleman, which is something he definitely wasn't at the beginning of the film. And you start rooting for him. Like you said, Long, his depiction of Zorro, it becomes less about revenge and more about being a symbol for the people. He's much more different. I love Batman, but he's much more different than Batman. He is for the people. And Batman's motivated more by vengeance and his parents' death.
Yeah, a little side note. Joaquin is actually a historical figure named Joaquin Murrieta. And he is widely believed to be the main inspiration for the character of Zorro.
Yeah, during the California Gold Rush, he was robbed and left for dead, and he led a group of men and beat up bandits and stuff. And he swore that they would feel his vengeance, and they did. He is a historical figure, much believed to be the inspiration of Zorro, much like Teddy Roosevelt was believed to be the inspiration for Batman. Whether that's true or not about the Batman thing, no one knows, but hey, it'd definitely be cool if it was. But to go on, they uncover a plot. First, this is about getting back at De La Vega, or not De La Vega, Don Rafael. But they uncover a plot to steal gold from Santa Anna right from under his nose and use it to buy, their California from him. It's thwarted by Zorro.
The same Santa Anna that went to Texas?
Same Santa Anna
that goes to Texas. To quash the revolution in Texas?
The Alamo with the Mexicans and the Texicans.
Yeah, well, originally they were going to have Santa appear in the film, but they ended up cutting those parts out. So he's just mentioned by name instead.
Yeah.
Yep. And this, the movie, like you said, I mean, Antonio Banderas has it all. He's got the charm. He can fight. He can dance. You know, the dancing scene is very impressive. Even though it's nothing, you know, nothing crazy. It's not, you know, they're not, you know, flipping on their heads and stuff. But, you know, he is a very astute dancer, obviously. And he became a very good sword fighter as a result of all the training that he had to do and his dedication to do his own stunts. And I'm glad they kept the whip in here, you know, because I guess director, Martin, or is it Michael?
Martin Campbell.
I almost thought it was Michael Campbell. But I guess he wanted to scrap the whip, and Anthony Hopkins had done some training with the whip and thought, hey, let's keep it in. Thought it'd be great. And
Hopkins says that the whip is synonymous with all the Zorros before in the film. So why should we try to get rid of it?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's definitely a tool that Zorro needs in his arsenal, yeah. But man, just a, like you said, an awesome film. Even the guy, like everyone after this film went on to have tons of movies thrown at him. They wanted to cast them in everything because this movie made so much, you know, had so much success.
Well, you missed a major plot point.
Summarizing?
You missed a major plot point in the film where Elena, who Don Raphael raises as his own daughter, turns out that was obviously Diego's daughter that he had kidnapped. And of course, then Zorro falls in love with her. So,
yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That is a good plot point to have.
Played by the Catherine Zeta-Jones.
And, And then he's like pretending to be the priest when he's pretending to be the priest. Which one of the most sacred commandments did you break?
Yeah.
I had feelings for a man. It's like, what did you think about him? Did you like his beard?
Yeah. Antonio is really good in this film. And the actor who played Don Raphael had a hard time acting against him and being mean to him because Antonio Banderas is apparently extremely nice to everyone. And so it's hard for them to show ill will to him, even as an actor.
That's funny. But I can't be mean to this guy. Had to act his butt off.
What's funny is Robert Rodriguez almost directed this film, and he was gonna cast Antonio also, but he wanted Salma Hayek to play Elena.
Which I think would have been good. I mean, but Catherine wouldn't have had the success that she had,
right?
Going after this.
She went on to do Entrapment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Connery.
Spielberg almost directed this too, but he ended up staying on as a producer.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And Raul Julia was going to be Diego De La Vega, but he died, passed away.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Before the movie started rolling.
That's crazy, man. It's like Martin comes in and he like sets a new tone for the Bond franchise. He comes in and he revitalizes the Zorro franchise, and then he does Bond another solid and revitalizes them again.
Right.
Casino Royale. I mean, this guy, you know, he brings the dying back to life, you know.
Except he could not save Green Lantern.
Nope, he could not save Green Lantern. That's like Mad Max, he just could not save the children.
Well, and he did a great job bringing Zorro back to new audiences, but unfortunately the sequel fell flat and the franchise wasn't able to continue because at this point in Antonio Banderas' career, he was young enough. There was no reason we should not have gotten 3, 4, maybe 5 films with Antonio Banderas if they had all been good and did them every couple of years, you know, but the sequel just was not successful and it kind of killed the franchise. Whoa.
At first, no one wanted to be tied back to the film for some reason. I don't know if it was a typecasting thing, maybe so. But then whenever the movies that they had kind of broken off and done on their own had started doing bad, they brought them back again and said, hey, remember that movie you liked? Well, everyone's back for it again. And bring them all back And of course, it's just a mess of a movie. I mean, you know, why is Catherine Zeta-Jones not wanting Antonio Banderas, you know, Banderas' character to be Zorro anymore? You know, she's tired of him. The action scenes just don't feel the same way, in my opinion. I just feel like there's too much going on, really.
Yeah.
But, you know, it is what it is, I guess. It's what we got 7 years later, in 2005, they decided to make a sequel. And like you said, I think if they would have maybe stuck with Martin.
I didn't realize they were that far apart.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, 2005. But, you know, maybe, like you said, if they would have kept it, you know, 3 years apart and actually took time to develop a better story and some on-par action scenes, then maybe we would have had the Hispanic, you know, Indiana Jones type of character, you know, except with no gun, you know?
Yeah. He's
got the sword instead of the gun.
Yeah, because this movie, I mean, this is such a fun movie that, you know, it plays off the old adventure films. I mean, you just compared it to Indiana Jones, but it owes a lot to Indiana Jones being that style of action adventure that relies on real sets and practical effects and story mm-hmm. to move the plot forward instead of laser guns and special effects and things like that. I think that's what makes it work so well with characters that are interesting. They make you laugh, but yet you take them seriously too. Like this, there's some really humorous scenes where he cuts off her dress, you know,
oh, which yes.
they use with waterwork and things like that. But it's not so cheesy that it insults the audience because you're having fun the whole time you're watching the film.
The scene with Three Finger Jack, whatever he gets right before he gets shot, he's like, he's like, called him Peckerwood, you know, and he's like, I steal gold, you steal people's lives, and he's like, to hell with you, and to hell with the horse you rode in on, or something like that, and he flies at them in the mining cart and just gets shot, and Joaquin walks over there, and of course, you know, he recognizes them, and that's whenever Captain Love recognizes him. He decides to show his brother's head and hand in the jar, which actually happened.
Yeah.
His brother's head and hand did get caught in a jar in historical records. So crazy, man. It had some wild stuff in there. Heads in jars, just like the governor, you know, from Walking Dead.
So what are your favorite action sequences?
Oh, man, I think you go first, Mark.
I like the big sword fight in the film, because I always like sword mm-hmm. fights in films. That's probably my favorite part of the movie. I think the whole ending sequence is exciting. You know, there's sword fights mixed in that, too. There's like two or three major action pieces in this film, and they're all well done. That's one thing I do think, like Martin Campbell as a director, you go to GoldenEye and Casino Royale, even Green Lantern, even though Green Lantern didn't work out the way it should have, Martin Campbell is really good action the way he shoots it. You know, he picks good cinematographers. Like you said, he pulls back the camera. His action, his scenes are very cinematic. They're not up close in your face where you can't tell what's going on. I think he does a really good job with that as the director. His action scenes.
Yeah. Yeah. And since this movie was shot so well with the way the sword fights are, the internet has gifted us with fan edits of these sword fights with lightsabers added to them. Lightsaber effects. So if you ever get a chance, fantastic lightsaber scenes now too. especially the Captain Zeta Jones scene.
Man, if you gave Zorro a lightsaber, he'd be a pretty dangerous Jedi.
Yeah. Well, without the use of the Force, but yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know, kind of like a like the Moth or got the hop.
So yeah, how would you guys score this movie?
I mean, it's got to be an A, right?
Yeah, solid A for sure.
Yeah,
everything is on point. Like Mark said, the casting, the story, the action, the directing.
Yeah.
It's a solid A.
Shout out to the training montage is very interesting too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
it's a solid A, yeah. and it makes me want them to bring the character Zorro back. You know, I think it's a fun character. I love science fiction. Y'all guys know that. But in the age of comic book heroes, I would like to see some of these pulp adventure heroes make comebacks. And I think Zorro, you know, maybe you cast somebody like Diego Luna would be perfect. I think he'd be a really good Zorro. Mm-hmm. You know, heck, even Mandalorian's Pedro Pascal could have always made a good Zorro. He's probably getting a little too old now. Probably want to go younger like Diego Luna. But I think it's just such a good character. And I think Mexican kids and Spanish kids, you know, it's a good hero for them to look up to as well. And I think the time might be right for them to maybe a studio will consider rebooting Zorro again. And maybe Antonio can come back and play the older retired Zorro. Because I always, when Antonio Banderas first came onto the scene with Desperado and everything, I really like him. He's got a lot of charisma on screen and always wanted him to have a really big, successful career. You know, I like almost everything he was in, even that movie he did with Stallone where they were assassins. I kind of really like that movie. You know, he's just always made, he made really fun, good movies. And, so, you know, I think Zorro is a cool character and, maybe one day we'll get another Zorro film.
Yeah. One of these days.
One of these days. Yeah.
And, which brings us to our top five because, the world of pulp heroes are not always talked about as much anymore. You know, they used to appear in kind of like sci-fi magazines and radio shows and like kind of underground comic books that weren't Marvel and DC. But they had a following from the 1930s all the way through into the 70s and 80s. You know, then the pulp hero started dying out with the big theatrical booms of the Batman films and the Marvel X-Men and Spider-Man, all that. But they still have their fans, even though they're a little bit of a lost superhero. So we thought we would talk our top five kind of favorite pulp action adventure heroes on this list this week. And Matt, who wants to go first? Matt, you want to start it?
Yeah, I guess I didn't go by the comics. I was just trying to think of like movies that I had seen where they were like adventure movies and pick a hero from them. That's kind of what I did. I know you're going to grill me for this number five, but I picked Richard O'Connell from the Mummy movies.
Yeah, that's a pulp hero.
I think that was my favorite role for Brandon Fraser. I kind of liked him as this kind of goofy, you know, gunslinger type, you know, and I don't think he was trying to be goofy, but he came off as it with his antics. But you know, O'Connell, I think he deserves it for that six shooter slinging mummy killing.
Yeah. I see it's a little bit of Doc Samson in him.
Yep.
Yeah. Who's next?
You.
Number five for me is Flash Gordon. That's definitely a classic pulp hero. That was really popular in the golden age of cinema and try to have a little revival in the 80s. And yeah, Flash Gordon's my number five. Fun movies. Pretty out there as far as the reboot was concerned in the 80s. But yeah, Flash Gordon.
And number five, I have The Shadow. Ooh. The Shadow Knows. I actually, the Alec Baldwin movie could have been better. I became a fan of The Shadow by listening to my old radio shows. That was kind of more my familiarity with it. You can find a lot of those on YouTube and different websites, and they're fun to listen to. There's actually a serious radio channel that plays old radio shows, and then they play The Shadow in there. And I always wanted them to do a big Shadow movie, like a new version. Because the Baldwin movie's not terrible, but it's not good either. It's kind of middle of the road. And to the Shadow at number five.
Number four, one of the most, one of the coolest action or adventure movies I ever saw on screen was Lord of the Rings. So I have Legolas as a adventure hero. Unlimited arrows.
Yep. Geez, what makes a good pulp hero, though?
You know? I don't know. Yeah, I just, at first I got it completely wrong, and I was like, what about like these tall tale heroes, you know, like Pecos Bill, like the one that from that movie Tall Tales, you know what I'm talking about, and John Henry Irons.
Well,
those are
the word pulp though comes, it's very similar to how like spaghetti western doesn't necessarily mean spaghetti. It means Italian. It means Italian directors. Same thing with pulp. Pulp heroes comes from the term that these heroes showed up in pulp, like underground magazines, noir style stories. And they call it, and I guess the term pulp, they call them pulp magazines. So it's kind of like, So the term pulp hero just kind of is where they came from. Similar to like where spaghetti westerns came from.
Or inspired by. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
My number four is the Rocketeer. Classic pulp hero. Yeah, and I only seen The Rocketeer, the Disney movie, with Timothy Dalton.
And it's so funny because that first 2 months of movies I sent y'all a list, I almost had The Rocketeer on there. So I think we'll be doing it soon. Maybe it'll show up in March.
You know, the thing about that movie is that it's a well-made movie, but it just doesn't do anything for me emotionally. You know?
It's a little.
It looks cool.
It's a little anticlimactic. But yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, number four is the Rocketeer.
Good pick. And number four, I have the hero we talked about today, Zorro. A hero for generations.
Cheat.
No. And I've even watched the old Disney Zorro TV shows and movies and things like that. I've seen some of those and. I think we need more Zorro in our lives.
Yep. Number three, go ahead.
I've got a Tomb Raider. I think the video games were awesome. I played them on PS1, PS2, with the triangle boobs, you know, even though the Angelina Jolie movies weren't great, I always felt like she was good in the role. And I still haven't seen the new one. I need to see the new one. But I got Tomb Raider number three.
It's okay.
It's okay?
Yeah.
Number three for me is a pulp hero inspired. But I went with Han Solo. He reminds me of a lot of characteristics from the pulp magazines. Han Solo from the Star Wars movies.
At number three, I have The Ghost Who Walks the Phantom. I used to always read The Phantom in the daily newspaper. This is, kids that listen to the podcast today, a newspaper used to have cartoons in it, like comic strips. And The Phantom would be in there every day, and I used to read it. And then I remember being in high school and seeing the Billy Zane movie. And I actually liked that movie, and it's kind of a guilty pleasure. I know it's not a great movie, but I enjoy it. I actually own it on Blu-ray just because I like the film. I think The Phantom is a pretty cool pulp action adventure hero.
Nice. Number two, I have hero from this film. I have Zorro. I did watch the old ones, the black and white Zorro, whenever my grandma used to babysit me. That's all I could watch. I could only watch Univision, and I had to watch novellas, and I could watch Zorro when it came on, and that was the coolest thing I was allowed to see.
My number two is a recent movie. Well, it was not that recent, but that we all reviewed, and it was Dick Tracy. That's a pulp hero right there, the quintessential pulp hero.
Good one.
Thank you. But yeah, Dick Tracy, definitely. I know it's a comic strip, but some of those comic strips did appear in pulp magazines as well. Yep. So yeah, Dick Tracy is my number two pick.
At number two, I have, besides, this may be something I don't think I've ever actually revealed on the show because it, I guess it's never really had a reason to come up. But besides growing up and watching Batman 66 and making me want to be Batman and be a comic, I also used to watch Lone Ranger a lot. And I still will watch the old black and white Lone Ranger.
Oh, yeah.
And nice. I've always loved the character Lone Ranger. God, I wish Disney would have given us a better movie than the Army Hammer one. And maybe one day we will. But I think the Lone Ranger is such a great character. A true action-adventure hero. And one of my favorite characters that's ever been created.
Nice.
Cool. Number one, drum roll.
I picked Indiana Jones, number one. This man doesn't have time to fight with swords, so he'll just shoot you in the wiener and take you out.
He did fight with swords.
Yeah, but he doesn't always have time to do it. Yeah, Temple of Doom. I like the Ark version the best. Raiders version the best.
Yeah, I might as well tie my number one with Matt's too, because I also have Indiana Jones.
Dr. Jones.
Yeah. Definitely a modern pulp hero for sure. Depiction of a pulp hero. Yeah. Great set pieces, great action, man versus tank, man versus Nazis.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love the part when the
when the
bald dude gets like just friggin' shattered by the propeller.
Yeah.
Well, I completely agree with you guys. Indiana Jones is the greatest adventure hero of all time. I did my list a little different, and I went more classical pulp heroes. So I have Flash Gordon at number one. Besides Star Wars, Flash Gordon was one of the first science fiction movies I ever saw, and I always wanted to be like Flash Gordon, play football, have hot babes and a giant sword, and defeat being the merciless, you know? And
that's awesome.
So I have Flash Gordon at number one on my top adventure heroes list. But I'll give Indiana Jones a tie with him because I agree with that too. So cool. Let's do a little bit of news. There's not a whole lot. Chris Evans is in talks apparently to return as Captain America. Word is that it's not for full films. There's not going to be a Captain America 4. These are going to be appearances in different Marvel films over the next few years. And people are saying, well, what about Endgame and the way it ended? Well, you know, they're dealing with the multiverse and things like that. So, or they're headed that way. So we could see how this works with Chris coming back, but
I hope that means I hope there's like a multiverse version where there's this really cool Captain America story where Captain America's on Planet Hulk and he has a companion, Devil Dinosaur, who's a red T-Rex. It's like Captain America's riding around with a red T-Rex trying to survive on Planet Hulk. It's like, oh my God, I want to see that.
Someone on Facebook said that. Does this mean we're going to get the T-Rex? Yeah. I trust Marvel that they're not going to ruin the perfect ending that Cap had in Endgame, that they'll bring him back in a way that it makes sense. You know, at this point, it's hard not to trust Marvel and what they do, you know? So we'll see where they go with it. The other bit of news I have, and this will make Long happy, Legendary Pictures came up to an agreement to bring Kong vs. Godzilla to HBO Max and theaters on the same day. And not only that long, you don't have to wait as long. It's coming out March 26th. They moved it.
Ooh, they moved it up 2 months.
They moved it up 2 months.
I better put in the vacation time for that.
It's just a movie.
And, I don't care. I got 5 weeks of vacation, so
rumors are that trailers for both It and Mortal Kombat should be out maybe by the time we record next week. So I guess that leads us into previewing next week's movie, which is Long's birthday weekend. So he gets his birthday pick, as became a tradition a couple of years ago in the show. We started doing birthday picks. And we're going to stick with Godzilla. As Long has chosen us to watch and talk about Godzilla versus Mothra.
Innocent as a gigantic egg, but its unseen powers are so great that its worshippers beg the thing's indulgence in self-abasing ceremonies.
The original 1964 version, right?
Yeah.
So Godzilla vs. Mothra on next week's show.
Yeah.
I've never seen this, or at least I may have seen it and didn't realize I was watching it, because I've seen a lot of the Godzilla films growing up. So it'll be like watching it for the first time.
So, yeah.
One of your favorite
films. Gosh, and it is the very first genre movie I've ever watched in my entire life. For me... before there was Star Wars, there was Star Trek, you know, and before Star Trek, there was Bond, and before all these franchises that I ever saw, this Godzilla movie is what introduced me to the world of fantastical movie making. So I'm want to share basically the movie that started it all for me for any kind of science fiction and fantasy movie out there. So, yeah, and I hope you guys enjoy it. And it's one of those few movies that have a really good English dub, too, but HBO Max only has the subtitle version, I think. But I don't know if there's an option to switch languages or not. So, anyways, I hope you guys enjoy it. And, yeah, Godzilla vs. Mothra, 1964.
That'll be fun. And before we get out of here, I want people to know that we are reformatting our Patreon, where you will get 2 episodes a month. The first episode for January is ready to go, and I will have that out possibly the same day that people get this new episode. And for just $2 a month now, you get 2 episodes a month. So go to therubberaiopodcast.com and click that Patreon link if you feel like having something else to escape to in 2021 as we continue to move forward in this pandemic world. And that's all we got this week. So just stay safe out there. And then thank you, as always, for listening. And until next week, when we get to wish Long a happy birthday, Thanks, as always, for listening. This has been Mark.
This has been Matt.
This is Long. Gay Blade. I don't know.
On that note, remember, as always, just go there and do it.
Go there and do it.